Okay, Jimmy Eaves, and this is Real Eight. And you just got into flow there, Jim, with that story, didn't you?
Well, like I said, I could hear this creaking of equipment and somebody moving about. So I wakened Jim Smith. And he got up and he said, "Oh," says, "you soft bugger, let bloody well get you stagged and I've done mine." And he got back down and went to sleep. So, the morning after, there was all stood to for about an hour, which you did every morning and night. You stood to, just in case an attack came in. And we stood to, and when that was over with, me and Jim Smith had a slip trench with a fire in it, and we made the breakfast, which was a biscuit tin full of sand and petrol poured in. That was what we used. And we made the breakfast and we served the lads, passed them round. Me and Jimmy just got ours and we were just sitting down on the edge of this slip trench when brr, brr, spandals about 6 inches up. So, down we went in the slip trench. And of course the camouflage net on my steel helmet set on fire. From the fire.
Oh, you caught it in the fire on the way
the
down.
And my camouflage net set on fire. Anyway, when all the olive balloon and everything was sorted out, there was about 30 Germans had come in, about 15 yards in front of where we were. And lied double in a holler until everybody started moving about and they opened up.
They were waiting until you started to wake up and they could see you. Anybody killed then?
I think there was a couple. And there was one or two wounded.
Right, so St. Ergentrude, that's the... What, did you see any signs of paratroopers coming back after Arnhem?
We did, well, whilst we were there, when we first went, we was in among the Screaming Eagle Division, the 101 Yankee Airborne Division, because they were still there.
The Nijmegen, I think they were probably out.
Their gliders and everything were still there. And an amusing thing happened there. I only saw it briefly, but apparently there was a huge pig roaming around. And there was an American, a German, and an English squad all trying to get this pig. And when we went further up, we saw the airborne coming across the river. And going in jeeps and that. And we could see how they'd been shot up and had a rough time.
Yeah, it must have been. So that sets the date, doesn't it? Because that sets the date about 20th of September, something like that. Something like that. So what next, Jim? So where do you go there?
If I remember rightly, I think we went somewhere at a place called Wheat or something. I don't know whether that was in right after there.
I mean, there was a place, Wheat, down by one of the canals where you were at in November time, I think. But certainly in October was Ergenbosch.
I think we went and we spent some time near the Raas. And then from there we went to Bergen, where we set off Sint-Ergenbosch.
Right, okay. So the lead up to Sint-Ergenbosch, so I mean, tell us about that one.
Well, the last place I remember going through was Oss, O-double-S. And we went through and we went in and we went in through Kruisnacht. And it was supposed to be an armoured, we were supposed to be taking Sint-Ergenbosch in a day. And the 1st Battalion was loaded onto Kangaroos, which are Sherman tanks with horse tools on. And each one carried a section of infantry.
Yeah, what's that, about 7 or 8 men, perhaps?
No, 10. And they were supposed to be able to go and get straight in and take the place. But the thing was that when we set off, all under the command of Lieutenant Colonel Byrne, the column was a mile and a half long. And the thing was that there was that much polder and that sort of, that you just couldn't get ahead, you couldn't get going.
Yeah, very soft ground.
Very soft ground.
Yeah.
So, after one or two attempts, it was obvious that we weren't going to get in like they'd expected us to. So it was decided then that in the night time the battalion would go in and go up the railway line.
Yeah.
Now that's another thing that in the regimental history it says that the battalion went in on foot, but I can remember taking my carrier up that railway line in the dark.
Was it a carrier now you're driving, Jim, or was it a Cardinal Lloyd?
It was still a Cardinal Lloyd.
Cardinal Lloyd. Yeah, you call it, but you call it a carrier, but it's Cardinal Lloyd.
And I can remember going up there and the places being on fire and seeing the silhouettes of the Germans running about. And when we got in, we got in like a fog. And the battalion took up positions and a couple of 100 yards was a road. And there was a gap of about 60 yards between T two lots of houses.
Mm.
And as it came daylight, we were there, and the Germans were coming streaming down this road. Huge artillery guns, towed with huge Shire horses.
Yeah.
Batting about six or eight to a gun.
Yeah.
And the battalion just sat there firing every damn thing, round on its arm.
Mm-hmm.
And mowed them down. Mm. It was like using a shooting gallery on a fairground.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just mowing them down.
Yeah. But what about you and your Carden and Lloyd? Had you set up your gun anywhere at that stage?
Oh yeah, we set the gun up.
Yeah.
In the park.
Yeah.
Mm. In position.
Mm.
And as fast as we were killing these horses, they were cutting them up and running away with the meat.
Yeah, because they'd suffered in Holland, hadn't they?
Yeah, they'd had 4.5 to 5 years.
Yeah.
And when we moved out from there, we were attacking, like, Grove Street and that, every few yards it seemed like the canal to go get across.
Mm.
And I remember one time we was down in a position, and right alongside the canal, the canal was at side of us, and we went right straight down it.
Yeah.
And the last, well, I'm saying the last, it wasn't the last, but we came where we were attacking, and one of our guns had knocked a German tank out, one of the guns under Sergeant Johnson.
Mm.
They'd knocked a tank out, and it wasn't under Sergeant Johnson, but it wasn't Sergeant Johnson then, it was Sergeant Bradbury's gun.
Mm.
And they'd knocked this tank out and chased them all along the way. And we attacked, and at that particular time, I was driving the carrier with all the equipment on. I wasn't towing the gun.
Yeah.
And we came to this bridge, which had a damn big hole in it.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd go at it like the flappers and jump over this hole.
Yeah.
And we got round and round to the other side and got the gun in position by these houses, pointing up this road, and my carrier got it and set on fire.
Yeah.
And it set the houses on fire, and there were huge houses with long hallways.
Mm.
And all these hallways were full of aerial bombs that they were using to blow the bridges up.
Fine.
And the paper was in the cellars underneath.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
So, just round the corner from there, down a side street, was a dairy. And they were firing up that side street, and also down this road that where we'd gone and pulled up by the houses.
Mm.
And then from there we went down, and this was more or less when the Battle of Sir Tobenbush was over. Attacking the barracks.
Yeah. That was the end of the Battle of St. Tobenbush, really, wasn't it?
Yeah. And we was attacking, it was funny, we was attacking this barracks, and the road we was on led straight down to the barracks. You could see the barracks right in front of you. And we had the gun in position, and we were in the houses. And I don't know what it was that they had, but they must have had some damn good artillery, because they kept firing. And all of a sudden, 1 minute, up this road was like an express train going through a tunnel. And another minute, they were coming up through the houses, bump, 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 through the walls, and we were led underneath, and they were going through the walls over the top of them.
They were just going straight over the top of you, yeah. And you could see them coming down this road.
Yeah.
Goodness. So you just scattered a bit, didn't you? Did you at that stage?
Well, we got out of the way as much as we could, but we couldn't get far out of the way.
Did they hit the gun at all?
No, they didn't hit the gun. No. But earlier, one of our guns on the Corporal Ollerton, actually, is buried. Have you been to Sir Tobenbush?
Yes, I have.
Well, he is buried in Hoogan, military cemetery. And he was a full corporal, but on his gravestone it says Lance Corporal. So he must have only been acting corporal. And we always called him Sam. We only knew him as Sam. And his name was Henry.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And the thing was that they was put in position on the side of this road in the dark.
Yeah.
The position of the gun, built the slip trenches, put the boxes of ammunition on the top, and when it came daylight, there was a Tiger tank right in the middle of the road, about 400 yards of them. And they went for the gun as he fired, and he hit the ammunition, the box of HE, and exploded.
Really? Yeah. And he was killed there, obviously.
Samuel was killed there.
Yeah.
And one or two more, and there were one or two more seriously injured.
Yeah, yeah. So but, yeah, go on.
Like, he hit all the ammunition, it all exploded, and they were more or less out in the open.
Yeah, yeah. So the fighting ends in St. Tobenbush. So what do you do next from there then, Jim, or what's the next stage on? Because that's now September, that's now October, third week in October, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, after that, we went clearing up to the bank of the Marsh. Because in early November, we was in Nunning and near.
Yeah.
Because it was, you couldn't see around in front of you for fog. And we was at one side of the river and they were at the other. And the 1 night, they had most of the blokes in carriers driving round all night in low gear, so that the Germans would think they were tanks.
Yeah. Yep, I've heard somebody mention that.
Yeah. And that actually was at the place where I left the anti-tape battery.
Right.
I went then to battalion headquarters with Nick Arnold Lloyd. With the RSM, showing the RSM's ammunition.
Right.
I had a big trailer full of ammunition.
And was that then to be for the rest of the war you were there?
I never went back to the anti-tank.
Yeah. So why did you move from the anti-tank platoon to HQ?
I don't rightly know, Bob, unless someone knew that I was a married man with a couple of sons.
You'd had sons by then?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And they put me with Battalion HQ. As a sort of I wouldn't be in as much danger, or it could be that for the RSM's ammunition, they wanted an efficient carrier.
It may have been a combination of both those things.
Yeah.
Okay, but that's now, where are we? That's now up at, we said...
It's at Nunnam.
That's at Nunnam on the Mars, yeah.
On the Mars.
One
night, the Germans came over bombing, and there was a poor old Dutch lady, and she was going around everybody. I don't know what she thought we could do, but she was telling everybody, "Coo kaput, coo kaput." And she'd only had one cow, and he said, "Received a directive."
Oh, the cow's kaput. Yeah.
Coo kaput.
Yeah. Take it out on the Germans for me, please. So that's on the Mars. You were there for a little while, I think, were you?
Yeah. And then. We pulled out then for training for going through the rifle forest, through the big three lines.
Okay.
That's what we actually pulled out for.
Where did you go to do that training? Would it have been back into Holland or...?
I think it was back into Holland, or it could possibly have been Belgium.
Yeah.
I think it was Holland. And we got ready. Or did we go? Did we go to Wiat after the Mars?
Yeah, you may have done. You may have gone to Wiat.
We probably went to Wiat and round that area. Well, that's another thing. After we'd gone over the canal at Lommel, we went to... what were them three places called? Bladel and Oozel, I do, like I say, we then went into that and down Wiat.
But you'd mentioned Lommel on there.
Yeah.
So that's okay. Yeah. But yeah, well, Wiat, I guess, would have been around the time of the Mars.
Yeah. We went around Wiat and that. Because I think that by the time we pulled out to train for Veritable, it was getting December.
Now, Veritable was to clear the Germans from the west bank of the Rhine, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And Reichswald.
The Reichswald.
Which included Reichswald.
Yeah.
But, okay, but wherever you were now training for Reichswald, and this was, say, end of November time, around there.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're training for Reichswald. Then what happens?
Well, then, on the 16th of December, the Germans counterattack the Americans in the Ardennes.
Okay.
And our division was moved right up to go in the Ardennes. We went up. I remember going seeing at the side post, seeing Ian LaRoche. And on the way up, it was all snow and ice and everything. And I slid off the road.
What were you driving at that stage?
Still a garden lodge.
Garden lodge, yeah.
We got carriers just before. No, just after, sorry. I slid off the road and went down a bank and was jammed between two trees.
Right.
The only two kept it in and left me there to wait for a recovery wagon.
On your own?
On my own. And I found a cave dug into the bank where the Germans must have made and been living. And of course, I'd only a limited amount of food, and I went a walk, and I found a village, and there was a battalion of the Grenadier Coldstream Guards.
Yeah.
In there.
Yeah. So you'd left your Cardinal Lloyd down the slope.
Yeah.
Gone to a village.
Gone to a village, which was 2 or 3 miles.
Yeah.
And this Guards battalion, I saw one of their officers, and they told me, they said, "Oh, beer at mealtimes, we'll feed you. You won't get any rations.
No.
Beer at mealtimes, we'll feed you." So, all right, I went down, they fed me. I think, I went down about twice. And the next day they'd gone.
Yeah.
When I went down. So I went back up the road and I hung around in this cave effort in the bank. And anyway, one morning about 2 or 3 o'clock, I went for a walk back down to this village. I'm going down and I got fired at. So I fired back. And we're firing at each other for 5 minutes or so, and all of a sudden I heard somebody shout, "Will you stop that bloody firing? It's a limey."
But he started firing at you. So he couldn't have recognised you initially.
Anyway, when I went up, they were Americans.
Right.
And that was the first time in my life that I ever saw an aircraft again.
Yeah.
And there were two or three of them round the fire.
Mm.
And they were boiling water in the steel helmet.
Yeah.
And this Yank said, fancy a cup of coffee, Guy? I said, yeah, don't mind at all. And he pulled this little packet out, opened it, and put it in a pot, poured the boiling water in, and sugar, milk, there you are. And it was very good. Anyway, they took me to one of their officers, and I told him what the situation was. I'd no food or anything. Two big 24-hour man pack for 10 men.
Oh, right. Enough for you for a couple of